Hello, welcome to Out in the Bay. I'm Eric Jansen. This week, I want to introduce you to an amazing new queer podcast, Stereotypes. It's produced and hosted by Christopher Beale. Christopher worked in commercial music radio all over the U.S. for many years. Most recently, he's worked with Cross Currents on KALW and has worked also with KQED. I've heard the first two episodes of Stereotypes, and I was blown away, deeply moved. Christopher introduces himself, so I'll just let him take it away. Perhaps I should say, I'll just let him take you away. Sit back, listen, and enjoy.
This is Stereotypes, straight talk from queer voices. I'm Christopher Beale. My pronouns are he, him. About a year ago, I made a huge leap. I gave up my career as a radio personality and moved to San Francisco to become a journalist and create radio stories. It's worth noting that I now live in like the gayest city in the United States. But everywhere I've been, I find stories of queer people making waves. From the unbelievable to the everyday, these stories have always moved me. I think representation is really important. And so on this new podcast, I'll point my microphone at you, the vibrant and inspiring queer community that I am so proud to be a part of. LGBTQIA plus allies, whatever type you are, this podcast is for you. Okay, I'll admit it. Choosing coming out as a theme for the first episode of a gay audio stories program is a little safe, but coming out is at the core of who we are as LGBTQIA people. Though many folks still live in the closet around the world, it's easier to be queer today than ever before. And that's all thanks to the hard work of trailblazers and activists and drag queens and sex workers, those who came before us. Every coming out story is unique, but patterns do exist, and you'll hear some of those patterns on this podcast. Not everyone can come out publicly for one reason or another. Some come out late in life, and some, like me, come out in our teens. I'll share my coming out story in the second part of this episode, but first I want to introduce you to Ray and share their story of coming out as a process, the length of a lifetime.
I grew up outside of Savannah. When you live in a small town, the guy that takes pictures for school is the same person preschool till you die. Jack actually, as it turns out, is gay. They separated the girls and the boys, and then they decided they all wanted us to have props. So they had this truck and this naked ass baby doll that was the saddest freaking baby doll on the planet. And so when the boys would sit down at the little table, they put the truck in front of them and they take their picture, whatever. And then when the girl sat down, here comes this like plastic, sad, naked baby doll. And I'm like, uh-uh. And he's like, but all the girls are doing it. I'm like, uh-uh, I want the truck. And he's like, but, and I'm like, no. And I'm sure he was thinking, oh, baby Dyke, I'm so sorry. Just take the doll for now. My name is Ray. I identify as trans, masculine, non-binary. My pronouns are they, them. I'm originally from Georgia, which I'm sure the whole world can tell. My dad was Catholic. My mom is Southern Baptist. I bought all that stuff hook, line, and sinker about like what I was supposed to be like as a woman in the South. I didn't even like have a clue about being queer until I was like 17.
That was when Ray took the first step in coming out.
I really sort of expected the floor to open up and like hell to suck me down instantly.
Admitting to themselves that they're queer.
And then nothing happened. And then I had my first like real crush on my best friend in high school. She married her high school sweetheart and I sang in her wedding. It was not ideal. I was 19 when I actually came out to someone else. I came out to one of my English professors at the U. She's not a gay woman, but she was very open and really supportive. And there was a lot of, what does this mean? I said it out loud, now what? Does that change everything? Does it change anything? I was really scared, actually.
What were you afraid of?
I think the biggest part of it was losing my family. You know, that's kind of the narrative, was that, like, people come out and then their families dump them. And, you know, I didn't have a whole lot of information to go by. I just assumed it was going to be the end of the world.
So Ray put off coming out to their family for years. Instead, they sought help and found a counselor named Ellen.
She wound up being my therapist for like 10 years. Saved my life a bunch of times. I kept hoping that Ellen would talk me out of being queer, like that she would know the secret to not being queer and could help me figure it out. Because I had tried to do the church thing. I was not one of those people that my church folks found out and then they tried to pray the gay away. Thankfully, like, I have a lot of friends that had that experience and it was very traumatic for them. But for me, I was just waiting on Jesus to fix it.
Ray was sexually abused by two male family members for a decade, starting at age 3.
I'm just like, well, if I sing in the choir enough and show up to church enough, eventually this will work itself out. There's a lot of people who like want to attribute folks' sexuality or their gender transitions to being abused as children. And what I've discovered in my like therapy life is that, yeah, I dealt with a lot of stuff. I was a queer kid at the same time, and the things that I learned about myself were happening in tandem, not because of. Pat was on Saturday Night Live. A lot of people ask,
who's he or she? It's challenging to be raised in a culture that openly mocks people who are different, especially when you start to see yourself in that caricature. In the 90s, negative representations of queer and trans people were everywhere. In this sketch, a barber, George Wendt, is awkwardly trying to decipher whether Pat, played by Julia Sweeney, is male or female.
While I'm cutting your hair, would you like some magazines to read? Perhaps Sports Illustrated? I have Glamour.
What about People?
Even in my attempts to be a good girl, like, I looked a lot like that character. Okay. And I heard it everywhere I went. I didn't realize it, but like that was my only exposure for a long time of what someone who was non-binary was. It's time for androgyny. That's
just Pat. If you think that the Pat clip hasn't aged well, check out this Jim Carrey classic.
What the? That's it.
Movies like Ace Ventura.
Einhorn is Finkel. Finkel is Einhorn. Einhorn is a man!
He's like spending all his time trying to make himself throw up after he realized he kissed this woman because she's trans.
No!
Hated it. It just felt so extreme and so weird to me. And that sequence, even though I didn't understand it necessarily, like I didn't put it in any kind of like, this has anything to do with me kind of way. But I was just like, I don't understand why you're freaking out so hardcore about this person that you liked 5 minutes before.
Like, yeah, it seems cruel. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even if she hadn't been trans, I'm just like, that of what? And that was the punchline to the whole movie. I was just like, uh-uh. There's this ilk of dyke in Georgia in the 90s that was like, jeans and work boots and flannel shirts and chain wallets. That was me. Because to be a lesbian in 90s Georgia means that you just don't wear makeup and wear pants.
Despite having the look down to a science, Ray began to feel like they weren't quite like other lesbians.
It took me a couple of years. And I realized that lesbians don't really want to be guys. That was a big clue.
Yeah, that seems to be like at the very core of lesbianism. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, right?
So Ray decided to tell their therapist that they were trans.
In the same week that I came out to Elliot as trans, I came out to my mother as a dyke. She took it in stride, but this is how it rolls a lot of times with my family. It's like, you get one okay conversation, and then all hell breaks loose. I got a call two nights later at like 2 a.m., and my mom was freaking out. She's like, you have to come and tell your dad today. I can't do this by myself. So I go to my parents' house, and my mom was like, tell him. And my dad was like, tell me what? I like women. And he's like, I kind of knew that was the case. And then my mom came back in and she's like, get out of my house. I don't ever want to see you again. And my dad's like, we are so not doing this. We're taking in this news that you gave us. You're not banned from the house, but we're never talking about this again. Mm-hmm. And you can go now.
Things were okay with Ray's parents for a while. Then the relationship changed a bit when Ray moved to Tucson and transitioned in 2005. They've only seen each other twice since then. But Ray says there is love there, and, well, that's something. It wasn't easy, but Ray came out to himself, to their peers, and to their parents as a lesbian, as a trans man, and most recently, non-binary.
My mom would be super confused if she knew I wore skirts now. As if I haven't confused her enough already.
But one thing about Ray isn't changing.
Yeah, I guess the accent's not going anywhere.
Sounds like you're stuck with it. Why is it important these days to come out and be yourself?
I think most of it is about other folks who identify the way that you do. Because it's so important to see people who are you in some way, because we certainly don't get it in the media. We don't get it in other ways. And so having other people come out and say, it's okay to love other people. It's okay to be who you are, to embody yourself the way that you see yourself. I think that's a huge thing. I think it saves people.
You might say I had my first boyfriend at age 12. He was my best friend, and we were inseparable. We were also lovers, in the most innocent sense of the word. We lived near each other for several years, and then through time and custody, we grew apart. By 15 years old, I knew who I was. I just hadn't told my parents yet. One hot afternoon, I would make a series of decisions that would force me out of the closet. Still, I have no regrets. Here's how I came out. It was 1997 or so. And I was living outside Orlando, Florida with my mom. We had this tiny blue house across the street from this little park with a basketball court. In this small house, I lived with my mom, my brother, my then stepdad, and his younger brother. It was kind of a tight squeeze, but at least I had my own room. On this particular afternoon, I got home from school and no one was home. Like, I had the whole place to myself for some reason, and I knew my mom wouldn't be back until after dark. From the couch, I could see this guy that I had a crush on. He was playing basketball with another guy over in the park. Admittedly, I had almost no interest in the game of basketball, but I sure loved to watch the guys play. So I walked across the street for a better view. Both of the guys were in basketball shorts. C, which is not his real name, was shirtless. He was so hot. The guys were wrapping up a game, so I found some shade under a tree. C nodded at me, and I nodded back and smiled. Like, at 15, I was already super gay, but was just beginning to discover what turned me on sexually. And on that hot Florida afternoon, he was it. It occurred to me as I watched him say goodbye to his friend that we were alone in the park together now. This was totally fine with me. C was always nicer to me than the other boys were. I was about to find out why. Hey, man, how are you? Good. You? Good. It's hot today. Say, I'm kind of thirsty. Well, my house is right there. We could go over and get...
I know where you live, dude.
Your mom home?
No, just me.
Well, let's go then.
Really?
What, you don't want me to come over? He smiled and we started walking. I opened the front door and a burst of cold air hit me in the face. The air conditioner feels so good on a hot Florida afternoon, and it helped hide the fact that I was trembling. He stood close to me in the kitchen and made eye contact, smiled when he talked. He touched my shoulder. I could smell his sweat and his cologne. I'm not quite sure I knew what sexual tension was, but in hindsight, the air was thick with it. We sat down on the couch next to each other, making awkward conversation, and within 20 minutes, he held my hand as we walked across the house to my room. I'll just say he knew what he was doing. And to this day, it's still one of the hottest sexual experiences of my life. It was beautiful. And then it wasn't.
What the f***?
It was my step cousin, one of the more homophobic people that I've ever met before or since. And he saw everything. He slammed the door, screaming that he was going to tell my mom I was a faggot, and left the house in a rage. As I walked C out the front door, he kissed me on the lips and said, "You'll be okay." As he walked down the street, he yelled back, "Call me." I'd see him around, but that was our one and only experience together. I remember while I waited for my mom to get home for what felt like my sentencing, it occurred to me just how much I had f***ed up. I got caught. How could I have been so stupid? My mom had a strict no sex rule, and I had violated it. Also, there's a good chance this was the first clue my mom had that I was gay. She was totally blindsided. Mom was in a rage when she got home. The tears were already flowing. We argued all night. Voices were raised. Tears were shed. The whole conversation took more than 6 hours, lasting right up until the sun came up. As I was leaving for school that morning, I remember her saying something to the effect of,
"You're going to tell your father, or I will."
During this time, my parents were splitting custody, and I was headed to see my dad that night. I waited until the next morning and walked across the house. I looked down at my hand. It was shaking. My dad was a giant to me in those days, and a strict disciplinarian. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little scared. Hey, Dad, I want to talk to you about something. My dad was in the bed reading the paper, steam rising from his coffee on the nightstand. My stepmom was in the bathroom. The door was closed. So I sat down on the floor and I said, Dad, the corner of the paper came down slowly. I think I'm bisexual. Dad looked at me and said something like, yeah, I already knew, I guess. I'd braced myself for a fight, but that was it. I ran back to my room and closed the door. I remember feeling relieved, but it wouldn't last. I was brought up in the Presbyterian church, but my stepmom was literally raised by missionaries. So what happened next, I guess, isn't all that surprising. My stepmom burst out of the master bedroom in tears. She was carrying a Bible. It was open to Kings. She made reference to Leviticus, the whole emotional scene. God was watching, and this was not acceptable. I do remember being firm in my resolve. I didn't back down when I was confronted with the ancient texts. I had already come out to myself and to my friends. I was already sexually active, so there was no doubt there, and I had just gone through the traumatic experience of being outed and caught in the act. My dad and my stepmom were kind of the last step. I was determined to take it. The years that followed would be hard. Shortly after I came out, my biological brother stopped speaking to me, and it's remained that way for more than 20 years. I left the Orlando area, and I have no plans to go back. I visit a lot, but I've changed too much to feel at home there anymore. And that's a good thing. Today, my dad and I have a strained but friendly relationship. My stepmom and I get along well, and my mother and I are close. I'm also tight with my three step-siblings. Coming out, and frankly, getting out, it's allowed me to begin building my logical family. My group of friends that see me for me and love me just the way I am. The best thing about this kind of family is as my heart grows, my family grows. I really hope that you have a family like this. It's so important. And if you don't, get in touch with me. At the very least, I'll return your email. I came out as gay many years ago, and that doesn't seem to go far enough these days. After reflecting a lot, I've decided I really like the word queer. It's the perfect label for me if there ever was one, because what it means, well, that could change tomorrow.
Queerness is a strength. It just is.
I love being queer.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
If you're listening to this and thinking about coming out, I recommend taking a look at the resources of your local LGBTQIA community center or national organizations like the Trevor Project. And know this, you are okay just the way you are. By the way, I've always had this weird attachment to this song. It's called Free by Ultranate. And as I was putting this episode together, I discovered that this was in the top 10 that summer that I came out. Explains everything. Thanks so much for checking out the first episode of Stereotypes, Straight Talk from Queer Voices. I want to thank Ray Strazzo for sharing their story. Thanks to Kiana Mogadam for the editorial help and to Josh Taylor for always being my late night sounding board. I appreciate you so much. My email address is christopherjbeal@gmail.com, and I'd love to hear your story about our LGBTQIA community. You can also get in touch with me at RealChrisJBeal on Twitter and Instagram. The show is StereotypesPod on Twitter. I'm Christopher Beal in San Francisco, and we'll talk next month on Stereotypes. Bye for now.
You just heard Christopher Beal, producer and host of the new podcast, Stereotypes. He's here with me in Out of the Bay's virtual at-home studio. Christopher, thanks for letting us play that really wonderful, touching initial episode of Stereotypes. And thanks for taking a few minutes to talk with us about it.
Thank you for having me. And thank you for playing it. Gosh.
What inspired you to launch Stereotypes?
Well, I spent 20 years in commercial radio talking up Journey Records, as I like to say. And I got good at it and I made a great living doing it. But I kind of reached this stage where I wanted to do a little bit more for my community and to do something that involved challenging myself. I wasn't feeling challenged anymore. And I discovered radio storytelling and kind of reverse engineered it and figured out what's in it and how to make it. And just a couple of stories in, I got noticed for it. And I've been chasing the dream for 2 years now.
So your first time experience with C, I have to say that really was, that was pretty hot.
I was there. It really was. Yes.
Have you looked him up since? I mean, years later, now that we have Facebook and everything.
I actually never knew his last name. Lost loves lost to time, I guess.
So tell us a little bit about Jim Matulski, whose amazing, powerful, beautiful story you tell us in episode 2.
The risk was high. They came to me, though, and said, we want you to do a public distribution of marijuana from the church building to people with HIV.
Jim is one of these people that is, to me, on the same level with a Cleve Jones, a Harvey Milk, the people that were that really put their bodies and their livelihoods on the line for our community. When I heard this particular chapter of Jim's just wild life story, I had to tell it. And it's a really touching story. It touches on the AIDS crisis in San Francisco and just kind of looks back from someone that was there.
I just was not equipped for the sheer numbers of it.
I think that at the time, the estimate was that half of the city's gay population had AIDS. It's just terrifying numbers. And Jim is somebody who actually did something.
I swear angels protected us. I still believe that. And many people were praying for us. They could have arrested us. They could have, but they didn't. And whether it was optics or whether it was, I think that a lot of people knew we were doing the right thing.
We hope to get the Jim Matulski piece up by the end of October. If not, then very early November. So stay tuned for that. Find more info at stereotypespodcast.org or find Stereotypes on podcast platforms. We'll put a link to Stereotypes on our website in the description for this week's show on outinthebay.org. You've been listening to Out in the Bay. Learn more and hear our current and past shows at outinthebay.org. You can subscribe to our podcast there and also our email newsletter. We only send it two or three times a month. We won't jam your email box, but this way you won't miss an episode. That's outinthebay.org. You might also make a donation there to help us keep bringing queer air to your ears. We are an independent production. We receive no funds from the radio stations that air Out in the Bay weekly, nor from podcast platforms. Your gift will help keep LGBTQ voices and stories coming to you and to others who might not be able to give. Just hit the donate tab on our website, outinthebay.org. That's outinthebay.org. Thank you. I'm Eric Jansen. Thanks for listening, and thanks for joining us out in the Bay.